We've got a wonderful speaker today, my friend and brother, one of our great servant leaders, Paul Rice, is going to share the good word, and so let's thank God for him today.
There we go. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that warm welcome. I appreciate it. I feel the love. Last week, my wife Liz made an announcement up here and she, about the Following Jesus party, and she told where to go, what to expect, what time and everything, and then afterwards she said something like, "Thanks, guys, I love you." And I asked her later, I was like, "That was really sweet of you. Did you plan to say that? She was like, "No, I just felt like I just shared from my heart kind of thing, you know?" And I agree. I extend that also. I love you guys. Like, you guys are great. So thank you for that warm welcome. Out of This World. That's the title, and I'm sticking to it. Can I pray real quick, actually? Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your strength as you've prepared and equipped me for this message. And I just fully trust, Lord, that you'll speak through me, that your words would go forth, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Ephesians 5:15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There's a lot in this first verse here. This is Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. He's saying, look carefully how you walk. And he's not saying, you know, watch your feet, you might trip. He's talking about your behaviors, your Christian behaviors, how you interact and move and think and talk. How do you engage with a world around you? And there's a couple different things here. You could be unwise with how you walk, or you could be wise. He says you need to make the best use of time, which also implies there is a worst use of your time. He doesn't say what that is, but we should be considering how we're spending our time. What are we devoting ourselves to? Why? Because the days are evil. And this was written somewhere on 2,000 years-ish ago. And the days were certainly evil then, and they are certainly evil now, right? Our world, our culture, is steeped in darkness. It's full of dangers and deceptions and temptations. We are constantly being marketed to that sin is somehow freedom, that and lies are often dressed up in religious language, where it's kind of like everybody's got a Bible verse to like justify their sin, right? And so it's difficult to know the truth sometimes, it feels. And manipulation can be hidden behind kindness. That's kind of the culture we live in right now. Like, if you ever had somebody be kind to you, like, you ever had that feeling of like, why are they being nice to me right now? What's their angle? What are they trying to get out of me? And so true love is actually kind of rare. Like, when someone's genuinely concerned about you without extra hidden motives to manipulate you and get something out of you. So it's important. We shouldn't be foolish. We should understand what the will of the Lord is. Be cautious with our walk. And so I hope this message is, hopefully it stirs within you to start thinking about, am I thinking about my walk and my behaviors and my actions? What am I devoting myself to? Okay, so that's where I hope to go with this. And this is maybe just the teacher in me. I'm going to tell you the end and where we're going first, so you kind of know, in case I get off track, you know where I'm trying to go. But on the back of your notes, there's some questions. You don't have to look, you can. I turn mine over. But there's some questions. This is where I'm going. I hope to stir the soil of your heart so that when we get to these questions, they have a little bit of importance to you so that it can be planted in good soil. And then the Lord hopefully will cause fruit to come from these questions on entertainment and art and music and how we interact with our culture, the culture of our world that we find ourselves in. Okay, so that's where we're going. Stick with me. I hope I stay on track here. Have you ever heard, though, the expression, Christians are in the world but not of the world? You guys heard that? Some, you know, it's used often. It's not, if you're not in the Word and you're not familiar with it, it's kind of a strange concept. What does it mean to be in the world but not of the world? Well, John 17, verse 14 through 15, this is where this expression comes from. Okay? This is Jesus. It's a prayer that's been recorded for us. It's Jesus, the Son, is praying to the Father. And it's a really cool, intimate little prayer. But he says, I'm going to read, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So he's not asking the Father to take us out of the world. That's where we get the, we're in the world, right? But what is of the world? World, the word world here is in Greek. The Greek is cosmos. And cosmos typically refers to, when used in the Bible, the entire population of the earth that operates apart from God, or is therefore against the cause of Christ, okay? And I have some pictures here because I drew some stuff here and I hope it helps. If you could do the first picture. Okay. Don't laugh. This is not the world. This would be the earth, okay? In a second, you'll see why. This would be the earth, okay? Second picture. Oh, it's not all on there, but okay. Okay, so this would be the cosmos. This is what Jesus is saying is the world that we're not a part of, okay? And if you just leave that up for just a second. 1 John 5:19 in your notes, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world, cosmos, that's the same word, is under the control of the evil one. And so you see, there we go, thank you. That cloud with is not red rain, that's my interpretation of whatever. Whenever I got this image to draw, that's the evil one. It's the same evil one in 1 John that Jesus is asking to be, that we would be protected from or kept from, right? Okay? Colossians 1:12, okay? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Okay? Can you do the third picture? There we are. That's us. That's us Christians, okay? So we're physically present on the earth, shoulder to shoulder with the world or cosmos, right? But we're not ruled by the devil. That's the evil one, okay? So we don't have the same values as the world anymore. We're not enslaved and in bondage to sin anymore. We are now transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's Jesus, okay? All right? So how do we act? How do we walk? How do we be mindful of what do we do, right? It's sometimes very challenging because we're in the mix, right? And you can show the last picture. We've got all kinds of things that are available to us, entertainment, art, music, movies, right? Some things are produced by Christians that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I would say those are good, say artwork, right? Other things are not produced by Christians who are inspired by the Holy Spirit, okay? Their inspiration comes from other places. And so we have this challenge of how do you make sense of these things, right? If we're not careful, we can fall into all sorts of dangerous traps, okay, and pang ourselves with many pangs. And share a quick story. I didn't prep Lincoln with this one at all, but he's a good sport. But we went sometime over the summer when it was warmer. We went on a bike ride. We went to the Katy Trail, and we rode. It was in Roachport, and we rode bikes. I don't even know how far. We got hot and sweaty, and when we were done riding, we went to we had the idea of let's go sit somewhere with some air conditioning and get some food. And so we did, and we were with the Pashas, and so we had good conversation, good food, we cooled off, and then wouldn't you know, like, the wives are like, let's go check out some of these cute shops around town. And so we're like, okay, here we go. So we went, and right across the street from where we stopped was an art shop. And I love art. I like looking at art. Like, I enjoy it. Emphasis on looking at art. I don't like buying art. And I also don't really like going into an art shop with my kids. Like, what? One, like, everything in there is going to be expensive. I already know when we're walking across the street going to this thing, I know everything in here is expensive and breakable. And what is it about kids? They always ask for something. They always find something in there. And I know I'm like, it's either I'm going to ruin their day by telling them no, I'm not going to buy it, or they're going to ruin my day whenever I give in and actually buy it and I go broke, right? We go into the art store, and didn't take not even a minute, and my son, my youngest, was like, Dad, look at that, and he's up on the wall. This is really cool deer head. It was like a white-tailed deer in like a European-style mount. Had real antlers, but the skull was like this folded steel with like bolts and stuff welded onto it. It looked really cool. He was like, do you think that thing is for sale? I was like, I would imagine everything in this store is for sale, but why don't you go ask the lady at the front? She'll tell you. You know, she works here. And so he walked up and he said, excuse me, do you know if that deer head is for sale? And she said, why, yes, it's $800. And he said, thank you. And I watched him, and he turned around, and I watched across the room. I watched his face go. And he came straight over to me, and he was like, Dad, she wants $800 for that deer head. And I said, wow. And he said, everything in this store is overpriced. And I went, yes. Because I didn't have to worry about buying anything now. And I could enjoy looking at this art now without, like, he knew. Matter of fact, for sure, nothing in this store is for me. No, I don't need to consider buying any of this thing. I'm just looking. And I got to enjoy looking at artwork with my youngest son. And wouldn't that be great, right? If we apply that to this message. If, like, when we're looking at, the picture's still up there. When we're looking at entertainment and music and art and creative expression and dance and all of those things, literature, if we just had that, like, this is not for you. Don't touch, right? The world wants to kind of blend and blur the lines of what is sinful, right? Worldliness wants to make sin seem normal and righteousness seem abnormal or unusual, right? But the Word of God is clear. There's no shadow in this, okay? It's very clear. There is right and there is wrong. There's no blurred lines, okay? And so we need to think about our walk and how do we engage and interact with a culture that is ultimately anti-Christ, okay? So that's what we're going with this. I have a little acronym here. We have a part to play in this. Holy Spirit doesn't just make it happen. He empowers us, but we do have a part to play in this. This originally, actually, this acronym started off as ART, A-R-T. And I thought it was fitting because we're talking about art here, but maybe a little over a week ago, God gave me another letter, this letter for pray, P. And so I went up and told my wife, I was like, God gave me another letter to the acronym ART, and I just think it fits better, and I'm going to include it. And she goes, was the word faith? And I was like, no, why? That would make it F-A. I was like, I really like her. No, it's P for pray. And yes, I'm not ashamed to sit up here and tell you that I'm going to tell you that you need to pray more, okay? So I can already hear it like, Martha, the preacher's going to tell us to pray more. I think we've heard this message before. We might as well just go, right? Stay put, okay? There is application here, and I'm sure you have heard to pray more, but this is important, okay? If it's important to you to know and think about your walk and your behaviors, then you should be praying. Pray more. I've talked about this before up here, but keep praying. Because, like, if you're like me, like, the challenges and the distractions and the sin in the world can get exhausting, and I get discouraged. Like, I turn a movie on with my kids, and I just want to enjoy some sort of entertainment with them, right? And then things are going along great, and then wham, there it is, like Hollywood's agenda. And I'm like, oh. We go out to eat or something, and we're just having a normal dinner with my family. And then there it is, like people doing worldly things that I was not prepared to explain to my kids why it is they're doing that, right? And it gets discouraging. You get frustrated. You can start to lose heart, okay? We have a parable here. It's Luke 18:1. This is a parable from Jesus. And it's cool because right up front, he explains the parable. So we already know what he's talking about before we even read it. We don't have to guess, okay? Luke 18:1. And I just have in the notes the first part, but Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. That's the purpose of this parable, that you should always pray and to not lose heart. If you're getting discouraged, if you're looking out there at all of the distractions and options that are available to you and you're getting discouraged, don't lose heart and continue to pray. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. I'm going to step over here. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming in to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Have the next part? Yeah. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? It doesn't say give justice to those who don't pick up the phone whenever he calls. It doesn't say to those who cry out to him, oh, you know, once a month. It's day and night, this communication, crying out to the Lord. Will he delay over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So this widow had some problem, and she kept going to this unrighteous judge. And Jesus is saying, look at what the judge did. He gave her justice. And is not God more just, right? You have a problem with what you're seeing out in the world. Pray about it. Don't stop praying about it. It's not something to just overlook. It's not just another Christian word that we use, right, like grace, that you should just ignore. Like, think about what it is that's bothering you and bring it to the Lord continually. Like, Lord, there's, like, how long, right? It's just this sin. It's, like, it's everywhere, right? But pray about it. It's very important, okay? That's the first part. The second one is abide. And this is Jesus speaking. John 15:4-5. And we're moving along. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is saying to abide in me, to stay close to the source, to connect with him for a close personal relationship with him, okay? We sang a song this morning, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Excellent lyrics. That's what Jesus is asking us to do, is to follow him. And when Jesus walked the earth, he called his disciples to him by saying, follow me, right? And the disciples would have been like a student or an apprentice, and Jesus would have been their rabbi or teacher. And so the disciples would follow their teacher everywhere he went. They'd watch him. They'd listen to his teachings. They would consider what he's saying. They would apply it to their lives with the purpose of being to behave and act and talk and represent their rabbi with their actions, right? It's a, the purpose is so that they can be transformed and be like Jesus, okay? That's what Christ is asking us to do, to stay close, to abide. To, you can't bear fruit unless you're close to the source, okay? And ultimately, that's how the world will know if we're his disciples, by the fruit that we bear. So it's important that we're shoulder to shoulder with the cosmos, the world, in a world that's steeped in darkness. We might be their only representation of Christ that they might come across, okay? And so we're being set apart and trying to be holy for, as a witness to the world. But what is it like, can you imagine, just real quick, can you imagine, I have decided to follow Jesus. Can you imagine if Jesus went, when he called Peter, and Peter was fishing, if he was like, Peter, follow me. And can you imagine if Peter was like, okay, sure. And then Jesus started walking, expecting him to follow. And Peter just watched him go and then kept on doing what he was doing, kept on fishing, right? His friends would be like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I'm following Jesus. It's like, no, he's over there. You're over here. What are you doing, right? It's like, that's Jesus is asking us to follow him. Does anybody believe, like, he's saying, follow me, but don't worry, you don't actually have to do anything. You don't have to change anything about, you know, what you watch or what you listen to. You don't have to change anything about you. Whatever lusts of the flesh you were into or lusts of the eyes that you were into, that's okay. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to follow me. You don't have to really do anything. Just say that you're a Christian. That's crazy, right? Just identify yourself as a Christian. That's good enough. That's not what he's saying. Following or abiding in Christ is obedience. My dad he was a preacher, and he would call some of those, like this kind of stuff, you know, stepping on toes. And people after church would be like, wow, David, you were really stepping on my toes. I had to lift them up, you know. So it's kind of like, it's kind of a sharp pointed thing, like to think about, like, are we following Jesus or are we just like blending in with the world, right? Are we just going along, being tossed whichever way the winds or the waves of the culture move, that's where we go, and we're into this and we're into that without really thinking about being transformed to be like Christ. Make sense? Okay, so abiding, important. Also, too, when we abide in Christ, like he's saying, if you abide in me, you know, that's following and being obedient. And obedience is tough, right? Like I wrestle with that. I struggle with being obedient sometimes. And if you struggle with obedience, you're not alone. Like me too. Like it's hard for me to not get drawn into gossip and complaining sometimes. Like, God, I'm upset. And sometimes I have a reason to be upset, you know? I'm upset about that thing. I really just want to complain and voice my complaint, make it known. And sometimes I'm not obedient. Sometimes I just kind of let things fly. Like Adam and Eve had one commandment. They weren't obedient in that commandment. And the Israelites had like somewhere close to like 600 commandments. And they also blew it. But so it's not about like how many, like one or 600 or whatever. But what's great is that Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's obedience. But then he says, and like, I'm not good at obedience. But then he says, I will give you another helper, even the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit. And so when we commit to following Jesus, when we commit to abiding and being obedient, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. And that's when the good stuff happens, right? The Holy Spirit empowers us now to live like Christ and to love like Christ. It's not by my strength, it's by his strength through the Holy Spirit. And I just thank God for the Holy Spirit, because without him, man, I'm cooked. So the next one is root, and that's referring to us being in our word. And again, I'm sure you've been told to read your Bible, right? We've heard this one before. We're out of here. But that's important. Yes, remember to read your Bible. James 1, 21 through 22, I use the NIV version because I think it sums it up really well here. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. I remember when I was younger, my mom would be like, Paul, I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, clean your room. But it just goes in one ear and out the other, right? You ever heard that? Don't just read the word and let it go in one ear and out the other. Let it process and think about and take, like, enter you. James? Yeah, James says that we should accept the word humbly and accept the word that's been planted in us. It doesn't just pass through. It's planted in us, right? The King James Version used the word engrafted, and I kind of went back and forth on which one I'd want to use here. Engrafted word, I think that's a good visual. It's a part of you, right? But really what the Greek figure of speech is rooted. It's the rooted word. You ever try to pick up a tree that's got deep roots? It's anchored in. It's engrafted. And so James is telling us that the scripture should take root in us, be engrafted, rooted in us. And so we're not supposed to be, I'll put it this way, we're not supposed to saturate our minds with the culture and then somehow try to make sense of the word of God, okay? We're supposed to saturate our mind first with the word of God. Let it take root inside of you. And then you can make sense of a culture that doesn't make sense, right? We bought a farmhouse, an old farmhouse, maybe 3 years ago. And we're surrounded by farmland. And it's facing the west with the most beautiful sunsets. Nothing impeding our view at all. It's amazing. One of my favorite parts about being where we're at is being able to see the big sky, right? We have in the dining room, we had this really big window. It was one of those double pane windows that the seal got broken. And so moisture got in, and then mold and mildew kind of set in. And so when we're in the dining room, when the sun's going down, when we're looking through that window, it's like, it's not even that pretty. It's distorted. The sunset is still beautiful, but our view of it through the lens of that window that's gross and needs to be replaced is distorted. And you can clean the outside of the window all you want. It's in the inside, right? We replaced the window, and now we can see clearly now this beautiful sunset. And I think that explains it really well, I hope, that we should be in the Word. Let the Word take root in you. And so you can better see and make judgment on that challenge of what's good, what's right, what's wrong. You can understand the Word of the Lord and hear the Holy Spirit better, okay? All right? The next one, think. Last one, think. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We had a picture on our wall in our house. It was by the front door, where the front door used to be, but we would walk past this scripture every day, and I would see it, and it just kind of, I didn't really ever stop and think about it. I knew what it said, but I didn't really let it let it take roots, kind of in one ear and out the other, right? And then we moved it to the bottom of the stairs. Now it's in a different spot. It's like, do I have your attention now? And I'm going down the stairs one day, and I'd walk past this verse on my wall. I like having scripture on the walls, but one day I stopped and I actually looked at it and like really started to think about, okay, what is this that I have on my wall? Whatever is true, okay, what is that? What's honorable? What is honorable? Whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what are those things? So there's like this presumption here that Paul is making that if we are to think about these things, this is a positive list of qualities that Christians should think about, set your minds on. The presumption here is that you have to discover these things, right? Which means you have to deliberately look at what's out there and available and make a decision to focus our attention on what's good. Okay, it's a sorting. It's a process of discernment. There's a whole bunch I wanted to talk about on discernment, but essentially, it's judging things. Okay. In Thessalonians, I don't know exactly where. It's not in your notes. Paul says to test everything. Okay, and so we should kind of look and see what's out there, and test it. But it's not freedom to just indulge in whatever's out there. Okay, there are restrictions. Paul follows up to test everything and hold fast to what is good with abstain from every form of evil or anything that appears evil, okay? And so this process of discernment, you don't have to get close to everything and dive into, you know, every new piece of literature, okay? You don't have to get close to some things to know that they're evil. You don't have to get close to pornography or an angry tiger to know that they're both dangerous, right? And so judging from a distance is still judgment and discernment, and it honors God, okay? Yeah, okay. On the back here. So we've done our part, and that's a process. It's not, like Pastor said earlier, it's not just a one-time thing, it's a process. We're on a pilgrimage. We're moving through. Okay, these are hopefully things, practical things that you can do to prepare and engage and navigate a culture. Okay, so here in Galatians 5:16, this is what our walk will look like. Okay, two separate things here. Paul says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Anybody struggle with that, right? You want to do what's good, but you don't. That's the flesh. So we have these two options, by the Spirit or by the flesh. We can walk by either of those, okay? Choose a path here. And we're kind of narrowing it down here, okay? Because, like, this message isn't, like, I can't cover all of the bases on what to abstain from or what you can get into, right? I'm not your Holy Spirit up here trying to, and I don't have an exhaustive list of thou shalt not smoke unfiltered cigarettes, only filtered cigarettes. That's not, like, between you and the Holy Spirit, okay? Don't smoke any cigarettes at all, but I don't know why I said that. Whatever. Anyways, but like, so what is the flesh and what's of the Spirit? Paul goes on, same chapter, or same book, Galatians 5:19, he says, the works of the flesh are evident. Here they are. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty sharp warning, right? If it even has the appearance of those things, don't do it. Get away from it. You want to think about your walk? Stay away from those. Check. Got it. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against those things, there is no law. Okay? Yeah, but what if something seems good, but it's also idolatry? Don't do it. What if it looks like love, but it's sexual immorality? Don't do it. Kindness. Yeah, but if it's also hidden in jealousy, right? So, need the Holy Spirit, okay? Be specific. Set it in your heart that you will walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, okay? All right, so I hope now we're ready for these questions, okay? Very practical questions, easy to do. It's really difficult, actually, to, as you're coming across something in the world, like artwork, to just be like, well, let me whip out a Bible verse real quick and see what the Lord says about this piece of artwork. Well, it's not in there, right? But you can ask these questions. I think we have principles as our guidelines, right, and how to navigate. These are questions I think we should be asking regularly. The first one is, will listening to or watching this glorify God? Thank you. I wasn't sure if you were going to put that up or not. Yeah. Second question, how will listening to, watching, or looking at this benefit my Christian walk and witness? Third question, does this help me grow in my relationship to Christ and abiding in Him? And then the last question, are there any other options for helping me to relax or decompress? Have I asked the Lord to help me with my stress? And I'll leave it at that. Okay? You guys are awesome.
Doesn't our brother have a sweet, gentle spirit? It's a precious anointing, a lot of truth there. Let's stand, make a decision. The Holy Spirit has the theme for the day. And our brother plucked it out of the song. I think that's fitting to finish this gathering. I've decided. And there's little doubt that the Holy Spirit has perhaps touched on some areas in our hearts that He's calling us to make a decision. And we can rationalize it. We can ignore it. But, you know, today's a bit of a challenge. It's a good reproof. And so if you've heard the word today and you don't want to harden your heart, you want to receive that engrafted word which is able to deliver your soul, and particularly with the various forms of idolatry, we're all prone to creation worship, and there's many different forms of idolatry, subtle ones. I mean, I became aware of one that's very subtle, particularly in our culture, probably about 10 years ago, and I've dubbed it sports worship. More recently, another one's come to mind, animal worship. People, they put a lot into a pet, and they take it everywhere, and everybody else has got to endure it. So you're not the only one stepping on toes today, brother. But, I mean, there's a lot of things that can take a hold of us, and God will call us from time to time. You know, choose this day who you're going to serve. Or like Elijah on Mount Carmel, you know, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then embrace Him. And if not, I guess you can have Baal, but see where that gets you. And so if you don't want to just come down and just say, Lord, I've decided, I'm making a command decision based on what I've heard and what the Holy Spirit is doing. And just come on down and we'll, as a church family, just lay those things at the altar. Have a prayer of recommitment. Maybe not just taking things for granted, but like Paul said, you know, thinking about things, making the best use of time. And just because it might even be permissible, is it profitable? You know, there's another distinction. Father, as we have heard your voice, we've made a decision here to not harden our heart, but we repent of those violations and sins that we have allowed to so easily beset us. And Lord, we repent also perhaps of those, there are those that we influence, even our children, that we're inadvertently teaching them to go in other directions, to have other affections. So forgive us for those sins. And help us, Lord, to continue to be mindful, to be sober, to be vigilant, to be children of a light that aren't so easily duped by the darkness. Let us continue to have soft hearts, be quick to repent, and to get back up and follow you with all of our heart. And praise you that you're good enough to come down today and in your own gentle way, through your own gentle vessel, to give us a little bit of chastisement. For you as a loving Father, chastise those whom you love. And how great is your goodness. Praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Blessings upon you all.